Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today on Quick Slants the Podcast, Tom Brady enters his fourth decade as the Patriots enter their second week of training camp, and we enter into yet another rendition of information, anecdotes, and the antidote to all your football needs. We're going to talk Brady. We're going to talk Belichick talking about Brady and whipping pads at him. We're going to talk running back situations. We're going to talk AFC East. We're going to talk about Phil's early risers.
We're not talking about Kaepernick. And we're not talking about chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
All that and more on Quick Slants the Podcast.
Brought to you by the letter X. Hey, everyone.
The letter X.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, it's like a number of letter X's because we don't yet have a sponsor. Papagino's parachuted out.
We're free agents.
Clearly, we must have done far too much for them in the efforts to promote their pizza, which, you never know when they'll be back, actually. So why don't I just leave it
We there? Were maybe, yeah. Okay. That's actually a good idea.
I just had Let's an unbelievable sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts, though. I went up there and I got the ham and cheddar on
ciabatta. Sounds like we're fishing now.
With some chipotle.
And I said, like we're fishing.
And I said, can I have some extra cheddar on that? She goes, did you say an egg? I said, no, extra cheddar, but an egg sounds good, too. So she put an egg on it.
Makes us sound desperate a little bit.
I think the people like this slice of life shit. Gotta be candid. Phil Perry over here, the senator.
I think they do, too. And actually, the sandwich did look delicious.
It was delicious. Yeah. And I actually had to do two intros because Phil thought that I had some sandwich behind my
teeth. You definitely had some cheese stuck to the back of your throat still.
Yeah, there was some sandwich sediment, definitely.
That's the dulcet tone of Adam Hart, the point guard, back with us this week. Thank God it hasn't been the same without him. That whole one podcast with John, the skull crusher, Henry, riding point. All right, first things first, we're going to get into Thursday's Belichick press conference where he talked about Tom Brady a little bit. And Phil, one level of this training camp and Tom Brady in general, and I spoke to Belichick about this years ago, I said, what's the most difficult thing about coaching Tom Brady? And he said finding something new, challenging him every single day he comes in because he understands and knows and has prepared more than you. And the last thing that you want is to come into a team meeting and know less than him about the opponent, or know less than him about what they did last week. So that's been a constant challenge for him. Additionally, it's been fun to watch Belichick whip pads at Tom Brady, Phil.
Yeah, and I think he had some fun doing it, Tom.
Why?
To be quite honest with you. Well, he was asked about it this morning. Like I said, Thursday morning's press conference was asked about the pad whipping, where he would just take a blocking dummy and chuck it sideways at Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, and just trying to mimic a pass rush there. But when he was asked about it, he kind of got one of those rare Bill Belichick little smirks.
Yeah, the happy gas face.
Hey, yeah, one of those where he said, "Listen, well, I mean, if they, it's a good opportunity for all of us because they can't get out of the way when we're doing it, then they're gonna have a tough time because there's guys that are a lot bigger, faster, more explosive, out there than there are on our coaching staff." So anyway.
Won't it be crazy if Cameron Wake lines up with one of those 00 blue pads and just whips it across the line of scrimmage at the beginning of the game?
There's no rules against it. Doesn't say anything about that in the rule book, as far as I know.
Well.
So anyway, to get to your point, which I think is a good one, I think Bill Belichick gets a rise out of trying to continuously challenge Tom Brady because Brady, we know, I believe him when he says he has all the answers to the test. I think he's proven that at this point. Belichick is still looking for questions that somehow Brady hasn't come across, I think. You know, he's looking for quiz questions that have eluded the vast libraries that Brady has combed through over the course of his career.
So the flying blue pad treatment might be something he's never seen before.
I don't think it's necessarily new.
Would it be great if you got drones?
Yes.
That could
and
shoot
just started,
stuff?
Yeah, just started
things dropping
firing like, you know, Nerf darts at him from midair. You know, I just think
he'd be like King Kong out there trying to throw passes.
Yeah, I think the enjoyment that he got out of throwing the pads, I think, is like a little miniature slice into seeing the kind of enjoyment he gets out of, and just the challenge that he likes when it comes to coaching Tom Brady. Like you mentioned, that's a sentiment that Bill O'Brien mentioned, I think, a month or two ago. They were asking about coaching Tom Brady. He said, "It's tough," and people are like, "What do you mean it's tough? You get to coach Tom Brady." So. Anyway, interesting dynamic there with the coach who's been around for 40 years, for the quarterback who's been on the planet for now 40 years, and the fact that they push each other.
When Tom Brady said this past offseason to Peter King about his confidence in playing the position, he said, "I have the answers already, and I understand the questions." Which was the questions or the answers?
I have the answers to the test.
All you have to know when you have the answers, you have to just know which the questions are, and then you match them up real good. But did Belichick bristle a little bit at that?
I thought he did. Go at ahead. That question.
He
yeah.
was asked that about yeah. Tom Brady and having
same
the
theme.
Answers. And Bill Belichick said,
"Well, there's a lot of us that have been around for you know a long time. There's a lot of us that have a lot of experience. But you know, I don't think that's really doing anything for us now this year. I think, you know, we still have a lot of hurdles to get through, you know, with this particular team. You know, we may have seen some elements of other things in the past, but with this team, with this group of offensive players and defensive players, we haven't necessarily seen those." So that was basically what he said.
I appreciate where Tom's coming from. I don't
yeah,
do it nearly as well.
Yeah, he shot it down pretty good. And I think, you know, that's no surprise coming from Bill Belichick, who wants every opponent to sound like the 1985 Chicago Bears in the week leading up to said football game. But, again, just that there's that same idea, that same theme of Bill Belichick relishing the challenge and I think even fabricating challenges for his players when he thinks it will benefit them. Even if Brady does have all the answers and he knows it, he's never going to give Brady that satisfaction. There's always going to be something for Brady to kind of be reaching for.
How has Brady performed in camp in your estimation so far?
Very good. Very clean. Accurate. He did have probably his worst day of camp on Wednesday. Threw his first interception, ball that was deep down the field, 50-50 ball. That's not even a terrible throw, in my opinion. Julian Edelman versus Jonathan Jones, you trust your guy to make a play or at least knock it away in that situation. It was the shorter throws on Wednesday that looked just off to me, and the numbers weren't bad. I could go back and check. I think he was 13 for 22. That's not great for him. But it was the throws into the flat where he had open receivers, and he missed them by a foot or two.
Who were the guys he was throwing to? Because they've got significant attrition over there. Because even on those things, the depth and the way these guys round them, all that stuff is important. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to excuse make for the guy.
Nope.
I'm just trying to get to the...
It's a good point. A lot of Edelman.
He should know where he's supposed to go.
Yep. Dwayne Allen was a fairly frequent target in the last couple of days. What's been interesting is that Rob Gronkowski has been a little quieter of late in practice. He was not targeted once in that Wednesday practice. The reason we're talking about practice on Wednesday and not practice on Thursday is because the starters essentially didn't practice on Thursday. It was Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett running with the ones and twos, and the regulars down on a lower field getting a lighter workout in. So with guys like, who am I leaving out now? What's been interesting, Tom, is that, you know, Chris Hogan's dealing with some stuff physically. Julian Edelman, it looked like, was dealing with some stuff physically at the end of Wednesday's practice. Brandon Cooks has been fine, so he's been out there. James White has been fine, so
Mitchell.
He's been out there. It's been pretty much
Mitchell's
the regular crowd. Yes, Mitchell's been down, and Amendola hasn't been doing team drills either. So a couple trusted targets there that he's been without. And so he has been at times throwing to guys like Matthew Slater, Tony Washington. Do you have any idea who Tony
yeah,
Washington
Disco
is?
Yeah, Disco Tony Washington. Yeah, he went to Hofstra.
Appalachian State, close.
Right. But Austin Carr. Austin Carr.
But the fact that these guys are even getting reps with Brady in training camp is kind of nutty because they go deep in that receiver position. These guys shouldn't be playing with the ones.
No. Jimmy Garoppolo, meanwhile, has had occasions in which the other team gets an opportunity to run with the football after he throws it because he's thrown it to them. Mm. It's happened on multiple occasions. I think, Phil, you had 3 out of the first 5 practices. Jimmy had 2 picks. No, well, this is not – we're not talking about the next Jamarcus Russell. We're not talking about Jimmy slowly turning to salt in front of our very eyes. And actually, Bill Belichick, in another question posed to him on Thursday, spoke, I thought, informatively about the need for players to figure out in practice the things that may not work. There's no better place to figure out whether you can fit it in on a particular route with a particular coverage to a particular player than to try it in practice. Because you don't want to try that in the game and say, well, I guess I thought I probably should have tried that in practice. I didn't know it was going to get picked and returned. So it's interesting. Do you think Garoppolo is you know, testing his limits, or is he just playing like shit?
I think it's more the latter than the former. I do think there are elements to the former, especially with the number of new guys that they are trying to integrate right now. So he's not necessarily, I don't think, trying to test his own limits. I think he's trying to see what can Rex Burkhead do for me on this wheel route that I'm about to throw him. What can Austin Carr do? I'm not really sure. Those guys might be running bad routes. There might be miscommunication that are leading to some of these. Some of the poor throws that we've seen from Garoppolo, though, have just been, in my opinion, just inaccuracy. It, you know, a guy on a crossing route, and he throws it to the back hip instead of the front hip, and the ball gets knocked away, juggled, and picked. One play, for instance, that one pick that I wouldn't put on Jimmy Garoppolo would be one that he threw a very nice back shoulder ball to Devin Lucien. Ends up, you know, into good coverage, but Lucien gets both hands on it. Probably should have caught it. Eric Rowe somehow sticks his hand in. The ball falls in Eric Rowe's lap, and that's a pick.
Eric Rowe's having a good camp, isn't he?
He is. He is. He's got 3 interceptions. He had another one on Thursday. Picked Brissett, just jumped a route. Would have been a pick 6.
It's been a pain in the ass.
Pretty short
Hogan.
Out route. Was in Hogan's shorts for all of Tuesday's practice. Hogan got him back a couple of times on Wednesday. Got him back a couple of times, but Hogan is just one of these guys, when we talk about the receiver attrition, who's just absolutely drained. Just too many reps, too much work. Was meeting with Jim Whalen, the head trainer, for a while during Wednesday's practice. Kind of left practice with ice on his knee. Doesn't look like anything serious. He was back out there today, and he had a sleeve on that knee. But they didn't really practice today. That starter group, quote unquote starter group. So
didn't practice.
Jimmy not so good.
Want to follow up on Hogan and the reps,
okay,
because it was an interesting exchange that we saw on Tuesday when Julian Edelman rolled around with Stephon Gilmore, and both guys got the boot from practice. What did Matthew Slater have to say because of the attrition?
Well, yeah. So I guess as it was happening, as far as I understand, he basically said, come on! You can't kick him out! You can't kick him out! We don't have enough guys! That was basically it. That was a terrible Matthew Slater impression. It doesn't sound like that
at all.
That's
funny, because it's coming from the guy who can actually knock Matthew Slater impression.
I'm not even going to try to do it
right
now.
It was a good start.
No, it wasn't great.
All right, well, if you're not feeling it, don't try it.
That's exactly why I stopped.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm crediting you and trying to let everybody know.
Okay.
So they don't think it just got edited out.
Sorry.
So
you can talk a lot faster now that you've been doing this BST show. I noticed that.
It's the BST show. That thing goes on. I love it, though. Love it.
It's good. I think it's hitting its stride.
It could be worse.
I think it's hitting its stride.
It is now that we have sports.
A lot of passion. There's stuff to talk about. Yeah, it's great.
Now that we have sports to talk about.
You guys should be watching that thing. 9 to 12 every night.
I'm guaranteeing you, if they're listening to this, whatever weirdos are out there listening to this, they probably watch that too.
It's a good point.
You guys?
It's a good point.
Don't you?
They're all nodding
right
now.
Don't you? Who's a good listener? all right, so we did that. Zing, zang. Jags come in next week. Is that part of the reason that they might be taking the foot off the accelerator a little bit?
I don't know if it's because the Jags are coming in. I think it's because you can't run drills efficiently with the number of receivers that they have available to them right now who look healthy. If, Tom, let me put it this way. You don't have Matthew Slater, who got hurt Wednesday and we didn't see at all today. So that is an indication that he's dealing with something.
Mm-hmm.
You might not want to run Chris Hogan out there very much because he needs some time off. You might not want to use Julian Edelman because he came up gimpy after that interception that we talked about that Brady threw. He got tangled up with Jones, reaches for his foot before he gets up, kind of limps off. That was the last team play of the day for Brady's group, so we didn't see Edelman again. You're down those three guys. You're down Cody Hollister. You say, what's a Cody Hollister? He's from Arkansas. He plays receiver. He's an undrafted rookie. He doesn't matter, but...
He sounds like a star at kind of a teen thing.
Mm.
Yeah, like a boy band?
A teen vehicle. No, even maybe like one of the half-hour sitcoms.
Like a Disney Channel show or something.
I think
And he would be handsome.
I think there is a show. Isn't there a show that with the name Cody involved?
Yeah, there's a Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
Zach and Cody.
Which had the former fat kid.
Those kids were twins on Full House.
Oh, they were twins. No, the former fat kid's the other one, Drake and Josh. I had to watch all that stuff.
We cover a lot of TV.
Kids are 21, 19, and 18.
Yeah, we cover a lot of TV eras between your kids, your kids, me and Adam's.
I was talking about Wait Till Your Father Gets Home last night. Nobody knows what that is.
I don't know what
that
is.
I'll find it and I'll play the beginning.
Is that really a show?
Yes.
I thought it was just like a line.
Like 1971.
Is it on like Nick at Night or something now?
No.
Maybe?
No, it's too old. It's from like 1971. But, you know, this is going to conclude the first portion of the podcast. Phil and I are going to reconvene because he's been doing all the talking. And I'm going to bring you down, traipsing down memory lane.
What did we just finish on? Cody Hollister. Oh, yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Talk about that. No, fine.
No, yeah. Find your thing. I think my point was when you have maybe four or five available healthy receivers, it doesn't make sense to try to run through three sets of offenses with three different quarterbacks against, 15 different defensive backs and one-on-one drills and then try to run 11-on-11s with the same five guys over and over and over again, because then all of a sudden one of those five guys is hurt and then you're down another body. So today they kind of hit the reset button and they tried to give some of these guys who are dealing with stuff some time off.
Wait Till Your Father Gets Home.
Is it a British show?
No. It was an American vehicle that I think played on the BBC.
She had trouble getting that out. She must have been very angry.
That would be the type of thing that I would be having my mother say, turn that trash off.
Was it a cartoon?
When I was a little kid. Yeah, it was an adult cartoon, though.
They had adult cartoons in the 70s?
What do you think? Are you kidding me? Adult cartoons in the 70s? That's what the Flintstones were, a primetime show, you idiot.
Really? I thought it was like Saturday morning.
No, I thought Flintstones were for kids.
The Flintstones were a primetime show.
That's tricks.
Show. The Flintstones were a primetime show, and so was Gilligan's Island. All that shit was primetime television.
Yeah, Gilligan's Island, I guess.
Okay.
Gilligan's Island, I think.
Actually, friggin' Flintstones are more realistic than Gilligan's Island, so don't act as if it's a totally different genre.
Humans riding around on dinosaurs is more realistic
when
than
you look at the shit that they were doing on. Look.
What were they doing on Gilligan's Island? They just got stranded on an island.
Oh, they had a pet
dinosaur. Nobody took a run at Ginger or Marianne.
Well, that's not realistic.
That's definitely not realistic.
That's not realistic, Phil.
I always thought the professor was...
With Marianne?
Yeah.
Who was getting married?
Wait, no.
Do you know that Bob Denver is alleged to be hung like a circus mule? All right, we're going to break for a quick second. We'll be right back.
And we're back. We're going to do this exercise now. Phil's going to run point. I'm going to just sit here and play beat the clock and give another one every time.
Okay, so Tom, it's Tom Brady's birthday today as we're taping this. He turns 40 years old, 40 years on this planet. This is now his 18th season in the NFL. This is a tremendous idea that you came up with. I think you're a little bit of a savant on the Tom Brady career thing. We're going to run through each year of his career. I'm just going to say the year, and you're going to give me the first Brady anecdote that comes to mind. Is that
perfect? But I might give a couple multiple anecdotes.
Do you want me to just say anecdote? I can do that. Just say the
word.
Yeah.
That sounds fair.
But let's go early career. Let's try to do it chronologically a little bit.
Okay.
Rookie year, 2000. Go.
2000, he had a yellow Jeep. It looked ridiculous, and people gave him the business, but he got it for free, so he loved that. And Steve Belichick, Bill Belichick's dad, used to bust his ass about the ridiculous yellow Jeep. Steve Belichick told me that when we were in New Orleans for the Super Bowl in early 2002, because he and I were standing there talking about everything. And I was talking to him about Brady. He goes, yeah, this ridiculous yellow Jeep. He looked like an idiot, but apparently he got it for free. Okay.
2001.
2001, there's a few. The first one being that I had a long-running argument with Ron Borges that Brady had looked better than Bledsoe in training camp. And then when Bledsoe played like ass against the Jets and severed his aorta, I didn't know his aorta had been severed or whatever happened there, sheared artery. And I walked behind Borges and I said, don't be too nice to the quarterback just because he's got an owie. He goes, it's not the quarterback's fault. I said, he may never get his job back. And we continued to argue that way throughout the week. Also, I remember Belichick that week saying, don't expect to be standing up here every day and explaining all the things that Tom Brady did wrong on Sunday. He also said, when asked why John Freeze was not going to be, or excuse me, Damon Heward would not be the immediate successor to Bledsoe. He said, what am I supposed to do? Pull the barbers, pull the teachers, pull everybody. Like, this is just doing what's best for the football team. I remember Tobucky Jones telling me after the Super Bowl in New Orleans, you know, we kind of had a feeling this might happen when it went down. And also, last one from 2001, Brady and I have always had a decent relationship in terms of I can just sidle up to him and ask him what about a game, and he'll know that I'm not going to sell him down the river in that particular week. But now, 17 years later, I can tell you that when I said before the Miami game that they played and Brady caught the pass, I said, what do you think? How are you going to do this week? He goes, we're going to kick their fucking ass.
Doesn't he say that before every week?
Yeah. I'll actually fast forward to 2012. Before the Super Bowl, I was a pool reporter for the AFC. So I was in there when they're taking all the pictures before the game. And Brady went back in, changed out of his jersey, came out to be with his family. And I'm sitting in the front row. There's no other reporters in there. I go, hey. He's like, hey, what are you doing in here? I said, oh, I'm the pool reporter today. How are you feeling? He goes, feeling good. I said, how are you feeling about tomorrow? He goes, we're going to kick their f***ing ass. Their asses were not kicked.
Then there was another one later where he was in some scuba diving gear. That was a similar response. Do you remember this one?
Oh no, this is you might be talking about when he was cold.
Yeah,
they were preparing. This was my favorite. They were preparing, I think, for the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC divisional playoffs in 2014. And I'm doing one of those things where I walk around the locker room and I ask everybody how they're going to dress and what they're going to wear because it's going to be so cold. And I go to Brady and I say, hey, what do you wear when it's cold out? He goes, what do you mean, what do I wear? I'm a fucking machine. It's like, okay.
That's good.
So there's
good.
Those. 2002.
Yeah. 2002.
Patriots
what do you got?
Played at San Diego. And at the time, Tom Brady was seeing Tara Reid. And I remember checking into, at that point, they were staying in a hotel in San Diego. It might have been a courtyard or something. Well, it's not a high-end one. And I just happened to check it to be in the same hotel just by happenstance. And I remember going into the hotel just as Brady was coming out with Tara Reid to get into like some ridiculous little convertible. Took off on a Saturday night. I don't know where they went, what they did. I'm sure he was home in time. I think they lost. They came 21-14.
Was Tara Reid the reason that that team wasn't very good in 2002?
No, they had a lot of injuries. They also still finished in a first-place tie. That's one of the weird things about this team. They've never not finished in first place. Since 2001.
That's interesting. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
How about 2003? They were good that year.
2003, that's a year I actually got with Brady to do this thing I used to call Irrelevant Questions. I was at the Providence Journal at the time, and I found it today, 29 questions that I asked him on the phone. We just sat there and shot the shit for 29 different questions, and we talked about race and locker room relationships and his first car and Junipero Serra and the stupidest purchase he ever made, which was an $800 pair of sunglasses that he had never worn. How he used to go with, I think it was Rob Nugent, was the teammate that he used to go to Red Sox games with, and he couldn't do it anymore because he had to wear it, but he used to always go to Red Sox games his rookie year because no one knew who he was. So that was some good shit. We had a good talk. He had 1967 Dart was his first car, but anytime it dipped under 50 degrees, the engine would flood. So I had all that. 04, not a lot.
Can we get those questions up on the internet somewhere? Are they on the internet somewhere?
I have them. I cut and pasted them, but they're Providence Journal property.
Ah.
So we'll see. 05.
Okay. Did we do 04? Was that 04?
Yeah.
I didn't have much 04. 05, that was 03 actually. 05, after a Celtics game, my brother and I stopped at a bar near where he lives, and he had mentioned that he goes there sometimes. He said we should get a beer sometime. And I went there on a Monday night, and Copen was there. I didn't text him ahead or anything. I don't even know if I had his number. I said, oh, he goes here. I think it was called The News or something like that. And his sister Julie was the bartender. My brother and I were just having a few beers, and then he came in. Couldn't have been more friendly. Dolphins were playing a Monday night game. It was December. And he couldn't have been more friendly. But I remember when he walked from this front room into a back room, a bunch of girls trailed after him. And my brother just goes, it's just a vapor trail of women. We'll call it women. Girls. So
that was pre-Guerrero.
But we must have talked for 45 minutes, just shooting the shit. He's shooting the shit with my brother. Yeah. You know, just he was nice. Just a completely regular guy.
Yep.
What else?
06?
Yeah, nothing really there.
Well, 07 was a memorable year.
07 was definitely a memorable year. I had more good relationships with Belichick that season. I'll tell you this. Let's go fast forward to the ones that are jumping out. In 08, mm-hmm. when he got injured, I touched base with him, and he said, yeah, you know, I'm going to be okay. You know, just kind of left a message to the fans. And I put that out there, and I don't think he was too fired up about that because he was kind of just talking to me. Oh, 05. There was a problem in 05 because they were trying to get a new contract done. And there was a hang-up on the guaranteed money. Brady was asking for like 26-ish, and it was being offered at 22, and it got all hung up, and it was turning into a big poop storm. And I wrote about it, and within 12 hours, Belichick, Brady, and Don Yee, Brady's agent, had all called me to rip me a brand new one. And Brady's like, who told you that? I can't tell you. I mean, it was, you know, I said it was going to be, you know, protected source. I mean, I can't not, he wasn't mean, but he was like, no, this is bullshit. 08, that thing.
It's probably the first time he was dealing with that.
Yeah,
right?
Well, it was because people don't understand the number of mud wrestles that went on contractually with him. 02, they redid one. And then 05, it was a much harder one. I remember as well, we'll jump forward, 2010, remember? He had to have a car accident to get that one done
mm-hmm.
right before the season began.
Right.
He has the car accident.
ComAv or something?
ComAv. Somebody ran a stop sign, smashed into him. He's in a car accident. Next thing you know, crashed. We didn't want to lose him. We had to get him under contract right away. 2009, I remember coming back because I had been at NBC. I got rehired by CSN or hired by CSN, and the locker room was just ridiculous. It was like, you know, one of those episodes of just screaming and yelling.
Wait
you're trying
till your
to
father
walk.
Comes home.
Yeah, wait till your father gets home. You know, you'd be talking to one guy, and there's like nine guys screaming at you. It was chaos. It was like, you know, high school, study hall, substitute teacher shit. And I remember just saying to Brady once, I said, this place is way different. He goes, yeah, kind of immature in here this year.
That's awesome. Because we know how that worked out.
Yep.
How that worked out.
What else do I got?
2010, he was MVP.
I'm going to even give you another one just because I don't want to be droning on too long with these things, but this will be the last one for now. 2014, after they lost to Kansas City and then we had our hysterical press conferences on Wednesday, what will you be doing with the rest of your life now that you can't play football anymore, Tom? And I remember I said, I'm done in here because it was getting ridiculous in the press conference room. So I went over to the locker room, also knowing that he does his media at the beginning of access and everyone's in there. If I go into the locker room, he eventually has to come back in the locker room and I can, you know, hey, what's going on type thing. And I comes in, I go, hey, tough crowd today. And he goes, yeah. He goes, talk to me in a month. We'll see where we are. Meaning it's not going to look this way in a month, which as it turned out, it did not. That's good. Good enough?
That was good. Yeah. Really good.
We have more of those things, but my brain started to shut down a little bit.
That's okay. I think get out while you're ahead. Those are really interesting. Bit of a... He seems to be pretty calm in some of those interactions with you. Some of them are, you get the fiery random ones.
Yeah,
he's dropping the F-bombs and stuff, but.
You know, like, for instance, and I could say it now, I think, you know, I asked him about some of the Trump stuff last year in the locker room. And he's like, he goes, what the fuck are people asking me about politics for? What the fuck do I know? It was just so, it was as if he realized, man, I got myself out here because I've been friendly and friends with the guy. And I put his hat in here in my locker, I think. And I'm speaking for Brady now, just trying to conceptualize what I think he was feeling. I did it as a solid for the guy. I didn't know he was going to be an actual real life candidate.
Right.
You know, I was playing along. And now I'm on point and people are asking me political questions and whether I'm in complete accord with everything that he says and does. And you know, I can't even begin to fathom why people would look at me and think, wow, Tom Brady, really politically minded guy at this juncture. So whether that's dubious, whether I was giving him the benefit of the doubt, that was the upshot from that exchange, which was brief.
It's interesting. It's interesting. I think there are moments where he's surprised by what the rest of the world thinks when it feels like he shouldn't be
stunned.
Stunned, yeah. I don't know if that's just like a naivete that he kind of has about him, or if he's just so in his own world and his, you know, that he's obviously, he's not listening to us, he's not watching TV, he's not listening to the radio the way we do. And so some of these things kind of sneak up on him.
I think that's it. You know, I don't think he's spending a ton of time on Twitter.
Yeah.
Things happen, then there's a reaction, and what feeds the reaction or how far it goes sometimes is dependent upon everyone else's reaction to it. For instance, his 40th birthday today. Had Sports Illustrated not upped the ante so drastically, would ESPN have upped the ante so drastically and had Mike Reese do the terrific job he did on his anecdote story? Would we be doing this level of stuff? So sometimes it snowballs. One person says or does something in the media and now starts going downhill and gathering up trees and rocks and everything else. And by the time it gets to the bottom of the hill, it's like, holy crap. Never thought it was going to get this big. Well, nothing was there to stop it because David Price didn't yell at Dennis Eckersley today.
Right.
So.
Good Brady chat.
All right, breaking it down one more time.
Think we did his birthday right.
Folks, as you might well know, this podcast is brought to you by water. 2/3 of the Earth's surface, of course, is made up of water. Water is something that we all need. Our bodies are comprised of water. Alex Guerrero, consigliere health-wise to Tom Brady, recommends water, hydration in general, as being a great thing. And Phil right over there is drinking a smart water right now. I have a cup of water myself, Adam.
I got a cup of water, for sure. Right here.
So, here's to you, water. Thanks for sponsoring.
Cheers.
I got one review before we go.
Oh, wow.
That's a bad end. But it's a cut above by Death Opie. It's a 5-star review.
What?
Death Opie. So, these guys bring the heat on all things Patriots. As a bonus, they're also top-notch talent evaluators, especially when it comes to pizza. Uh-oh. The tallest nerdy guy and the off-kilter former bald guy offer a perspective worthy of a regional domestic car dealership sponsorship. Sign them up. Sign them up.
I like that review.
That's a good review.
Good review. We are talented evaluators. I don't care what Bill Belichick says.
That's right.
We got this thing figured out. Tom, you got any more? We got a TV show to do. We have a live TV show soon. I think we should say bye.
Okay.
I think we should thank everyone for listening to the two podcasts that we did last week with Gerard Mayo. Those things were massive, massive hits. A couple of our most popular podcasts ever. So thank you for listening to those. Please stick with us throughout the season, throughout camp. We're going to have new pods every week. We're going to be giving you all kinds of information and interesting little anecdotes like the ones Tom so nicely brought to you today. So we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome.